down through the pages of American history has come to us a legacy based on work and ideals. From the man with the axe, from the man with the plow, from the man with the hammer and the man with the pen, from all these our forefathers have come to us our beliefs and our values. From these has come to us our American heritage. The United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education, presents Magnificent Possession.
Attention, everybody. Our train is approaching the border of the Ohio Empire. Have your visas and baggage ready for inspection. Prepare for inspection.
Say, how long will it take to get through customs?
Oh, about an hour.
Are the duties high?
Yeah, especially if you bought anything here in the Kingdom of Indiana.
Son of a gun, I would buy some stuff.
You're from the Republic of Missouri, aren't you?
That's right. I'm headed for the Dominion of Pennsylvania.
Oh, brother, is your Missouri money going to take a beat?
What do you mean?
Look, fella, when you change your Missouri money into Pennsylvania money, just figure on losing half the value.
Half? Oh, for gosh sake.
And another thing, when you're in the Dominion of Pennsylvania, watch out what you say about their dictator. He's got secret police all over the place.
Sounds silly, doesn't it? Yes, we can be very smug and say that this is just a bunch of nonsense. Why, within the USA, we don't have state duties, dictators, and kings, and we don't have to have visas, and our money's the same. Sure, our state borders are merely lines on a map. Take your freedom for granted if you want to. But all this could have happened to us. Those state borders could have developed into formidable barriers. You'll find this threat right in the pages of our history. Do you remember the words 13 free and independent states? Well, that was our nation after the Revolutionary War. You see, our first government was set up to be nothing more than a union of friendship. But little by little, even friendship was forgotten as the state borders gradually became barriers.
Is that your wagon in front of the tavern?
Yeah, just having a glass of beer, then I'm off for New York.
Yeah, but you got it loaded with merchandise.
Sure, got a regular business, back and forth from Connecticut every week.
Evidently, you ain't heard what's happened.
Don't tell me New York's raised the duty.
No, but we're fighting the New York duty, and if you get caught taking that load into New York, Connecticut will fine you.
My own state? Fine me? Don't be ridiculous.
That's a new law.
You mean to tell me I can't sell across the border?
Afraid so.
Everything I own. It's my whole business.
Hey, can't you sell your goods around here?
There's no market. Besides, they'd pay me in Connecticut money, and you know as well as I do, Connecticut money ain't worth nothing.
Help me, I couldn't help overhearing the conversation. I think it's about time we had a strong national government to stop all this confusion.
Listen, mister, states are free and independent, and that's the way we like it.
Yes, but the states are creating their own destruction. It's no wonder the people are talking favorably about having a king or splitting up into several nations.
I don't like what you're saying, mister.
Neither do I, because it's the truth. Our Constitution isn't providing us with the right kind of government.
Our Constitution? You mean the Articles of Confederation?
Yes.
The greatest men in the country wrote the Articles of Confederation, and they're good enough for me.
With all due respect to those men, they were inexperienced in statesmanship, and they had no way of realizing that they were preparing the day for another American Revolution.
Conflict, rebellion, state fighting state. Every move that strengthened the state borders weakened the whole country. And the Union was breaking up under the strain. The people who had united to fight the Revolutionary War in the name of freedom found themselves divided and living under a new kind of tyranny. It was during these threatening days that destiny played a strange game, which gradually attracted the greatest men of our country. James Madison began the series of events by planning a convention that was held at Annapolis, Maryland, in September 1786. The delegates met to solve the interstate commercial problems of the nation. And although the convention was doomed to failure, it became the turning point in our history.
And though we have struggled through many meetings of this convention, we've accomplished very little. Because only five states have seen fit to send their representatives. Therefore, I propose that we should now adjourn.
Mr. Chairman.
The chair recognizes Alexander Hamilton of New York.
Thank you. Before we adjourn, I would like to propose that we send invitations to all the states to attend a new convention. At the same time we send the invitations, I would suggest including a report
I'm
of our
I'm sorry the convention's been a failure, Mr. Matador.
Yes, it's a shame, but the new convention won't take care of the interstate problems.
Why do you say that?
In the first place, we've learned at this convention strong laws are necessary.
Of course.
The government's too weak to enforce them. The Articles of Confederation aren't strong enough as a constitution.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Madison, New Jersey has authorized me to discuss changes in the Articles of Confederation to strengthen the government.
What? Discuss changes here in this convention?
Yes, but none of the rest of you seem to have that authority.
Wait. When Alexander Hamilton gets through talking, jump up and propose that the new convention should be for the purpose of rewriting the Articles of Confederation.
But, Mr. Madison...
You're the only one authorized to make such a proposal.
I know, but...
On your feet, quick.
I'm Mr. Madison.
On your feet, man. Quick, quick.
All right. Mr. Chairman...
Chair recognizes the delegate from New Jersey.
Thank you. Mr. Hamilton has proposed that we send invitations to all the states to attend the new convention. I should like to add to that proposal that the purpose of the new convention should be to rewrite the Articles of Confederation to make them more suitable for governing.
Do you wish to have the addition incorporated in your proposal, Mr. Hamilton?
Yes, indeed. I believe the Constitution should be revised. Madison, Congress was up in arms about the invitation. As you know, the congressman refused to authorize the new convention. And under the circumstances, Virginia cannot simply blunder ahead and accept it.
Mr. Wythe, Congress represents the states, and if the states want this convention, they should have it.
Have any of the other states accepted?
No, but all they need is our leadership and being the first.
You're treading on dangerous ground.
The whole country's on dangerous ground, and soon it'll be too late. The Virginia Assembly must accept this invitation immediately and lose no time in urging the other states to follow our course. If necessary, I am prepared to fight this thing through the Virginia Assembly and every state in the Union.
Gentlemen of Congress, regardless of our rejection, one by one the states have notified us of their acceptance of the invitation.
Then, Mr. King, doesn't that mean we'll be forced to give our approval?
Unfortunately, yes. However, let us be wise and authorize the convention to meet only for the sole purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation. Otherwise, there may be attempts to create a radically new constitution.
Mm-hmm. You've outlined a remarkable plan of government, Mr. Madison. But this is hardly what you would call a revision of the Articles of Confederation.
I didn't intend it to be.
A Supreme Court, a national executive, two houses of Congress, a representative vote. We've never had anything like this. I'm afraid you're going to turn the convention into a battlefield.
Governor Randolph, the nation's in a terrible crisis. And with a convention of the greatest men in our country, I have no doubt that the Articles of Confederation will be completely scrapped. And an entirely new constitution will be written to take its place. And we should be prepared.
Well, possibly you're right. Anyway, I'd like to have the Virginia Assembly go over your outline.
Fine. Then let's call it the Virginia Plan. And when the states meet in Philadelphia for the convention, we'll be ready for another American Revolution. But this time, the fighting will be with ideas and ideals.
And it's quite remarkable that we should have 56 members from all over the country.
Yes, it is. In the meeting this morning...
Oh, pardon me, but General Washington has taken the stand.
Oh, yes, I'd better get back to my seat, so I'll talk to you later, Dr. Franklin.
Please do, Alexander.
Gentlemen, we are ready to continue. In the preceding meetings, we have discussed the inadequacies of the Articles of Confederation as a suitable basis for government. We should now be prepared to approach the solution to our problems. As president of the Constitutional Convention, I would like to call upon Governor Randolph to read the Virginia Plan for our consideration. This is a proposed constitution written in a series of resolutions, each of which will be debated and voted upon. If you will, Governor Randolph.
Thank you, Mr. President and gentlemen. And now the first resolution. Resolved that a national government ought to be established consisting of a supreme legislature, a supreme court, and an executive.
Mr. President.
The chair recognizes Mr. White.
From the silence of the members, I believe we are prepared to vote upon this resolution.
Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. Pinckney?
I would say the silence is due to a confusion in our minds. What does Governor Randolph mean by supreme legislature, supreme court? Am I to understand the states would no longer be free and independent?
The question, Mr. Randolph.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Pinckney, the independence of the states has been the basic cause of our failure. Therefore, the objective of the Virginia plan is to create a supreme national government.
Mr. President. Mr. Gary has the floor.
Mr. President, may I remind the gentleman from Virginia that we are authorized only to revise the Articles of Confederation. That resolution alone would destroy the very foundation of our government.
Mr. Martin has the floor.
Before we go any further, would the states have equal power in the government? Or would there be a representative vote of the people?
May I answer that question, Mr. President?
Very well. James Madison has the floor.
The Virginia plan specifies a representative vote of the people.
With that kind of national government, the small states would be swallowed up. Each state should have one vote.
Gentlemen, Mr. Madison still has the floor.
Would you say it's fair that a state the size of Delaware should have the same voting power as the state of New York? With an equal vote among the states, the rights of thousands of citizens would be ignored. The people should be given the privilege of knowing they have an individual responsibility for the destiny of their country.
Mr. President, if this is the opinion of the majority, I'll be forced to withdraw Delaware from the convention.
Oh, Mr. President! Order, gentlemen, order. Mr. Madison still has the floor.
Gentlemen, we are gathered here not because there is a crisis of the states. This is the crisis of the American people. It would be treason to their trust in us to let the jealousies and prejudices among you snatch the just fruits of independence from their very grasp. We are not here to represent states as states. We are here in the service of our people. Let us raise for them a noble standard of freedom by preparing a constitution that will make every person in the country individually proud that he is a responsible citizen of the United States.
Through the long months of the convention, there was a dawning respect of man for man. Look at your Constitution, and you will see that it starts with the words, "We, the people of the United States." In the lines that follow, you will find the reasons why we can travel the length and breadth of this land from state to state without fear or question. Kingdoms, empires, dictatorships have changed or crumbled about us, and yet we have remained unshaken on the foundation of paper and words, which has become our magnificent possession, the Constitution of the United States. You have been listening to Magnificent Possession, written by Everett Pritchard, produced and directed by James W. Talbot. In the cast were John T. Smith, Jack Brown, Bud Widham, Clayton Post, Fred Campbell, Shep Mencken, Ralph Moody, Howard Culver, Byron Kane, and Norman Budd. Original music was composed by John Hicks, with the orchestra under the direction of Michel Perrier. Your narrator has been Rye Bilsbury. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.